Blog Talk Radio.
So hello, shalom, and good morning. This is Evangelist Tanita here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we want to welcome you to this Saturday morning broadcast. Today is March the 11th, 2023, and we will continue with our new series, The Importance of Keeping the Heavenly Vision, Part 7. And, of course, we were dealing with Matthew chapter 24 and Daniel chapter 9. And I'll hand the show over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. Father, we thank you for another day and another opportunity to shed light on your gospel, the Hebraic gospel of truth. We ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression, and choose this day to forgive others who have sinned against us, caused iniquity and transgression. We do desire to have the fullness of your life, Father, your love, so that we may walk in the fullness of that love for eternity and beyond. We submit to you, Father, this message, and we just ask that you speak, that you begin to set free and deliver individuals from darkness and allow them to see and understand and experience your marvelous light. In the precious name of Yeshua. Amen and amen. Well, this part of the series is so important because this here will begin to culminate the series, but will also, I pray, begin to as much clarity as is necessary for those who are listening pertaining to why it is so important for us individually in our micro to focus and to keep our eyes on him, knowing that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. We need to be so prepared and so ready for that. So prepared and so ready. Now, we're going to pick it right back up where we left off with Matthew chapter 24. And we've read verse 15, but we're going to go ahead and read 16 through 31. And we're just going to read that in the King James Version, just in the King James Version. We'll probably go maybe 4 or 5 verses and then elaborate on those verses. But I want us to get a understanding of how important it was to Yeshua to let his disciples know so that they would be prepared for the calamities. We need to be prepared. I need to be prepared for the calamities. It's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to teach it. It's even another thing to study it. But we've got to live through it. And all of those aspects of what I just said are in order for us to live through it victoriously. If we go through all of those gyrations and we don't live through it, if we fail, then all that we worked so hard for and believed God for is in vain. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to start with verse 16, and we'll read probably the first 5 verses, and we're only reading in the King James, the first 5 verses, and then we will elaborate on that and just continue through until we get to verse 31. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Matthew chapter 24, King James Version, starting at verse 16. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Verse 20, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, and neither on the Sabbath day. Rabbi John?
Now, there's a lot of teaching pertaining to this. And all I'm going to say here is there is a massive flood because of the shaking that's going to happen on the earth because of the calamities that we talked about in the sixth seal. And that tsunami, if you will, is going to go all the way up into the Mediterranean Sea. And it's going to thrust its way all the way as far up land to Jerusalem as it possibly can. Now, even though Jerusalem itself is on high ground, it's saying those that are in Judea, which are the lower ground, they need to go to high ground in order to not get sucked in by the tsunami and the actual wave that comes in and pulls back out. We need to understand all of this is going to happen in such a blinking of an eye, if you will, that they're not going to have a lot of opportunities to prep and prepare. If you haven't already prepped and have a exit strategy, to a degree, it's going to be too late, depending upon where you are. But this is basically getting them prepared for what some even would call the polar shift. That polar shift will cause the wobbling effect, and that wobbling effect will cause the tsunami as well. And see, the polar shift or the wobbling effect would happen by that drive-by, or a flyby, correction, drive-by, by that flyby, by the Nemesis solar system, our binary solar system. So we need to be ever so prepared and ready for this and understand that he being Yehoshua, is getting everyone to be aware. Now, he knew good and well that his disciples would be already, they would have already passed away, but this information was not yet for their time period, but for a futuristic time period. So he was preparing them to prepare us, because we are, I believe, with my whole heart, part futuristic time period. So, Evangelist, if you can continue with the next four or five verses.
Yes, sir. So, starting at verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Verse 25, behold, I have told you before." Rabbi John?
So right now, it's letting you know, Yah is giving him, or giving all of them, correction, giving all of them the actual understanding of the, okay? And even now, as we are doing this broadcast, they have an individual in Israel, an Ashkenazi Jew in Israel that they believe is the Messiah. So you already have situations brewing or fulfill this portion of the prophecy. But according to the order of things, okay, this flyby is what I'm calling it, has to happen with the one of you with kin to the lower land of lower area of Israel to try to wash that out, to try to destroy and to kill. Oh, excuse me, to try to kill Hebrews to there as well. The observatory we need to be allowing Yeshua to give the actual point chronological, which that within itself is phenomenal. Chronological. And all of this is going right to the sixth seal. It's describing the things that the sixth seal is going to bring, the calamities that the sixth seal is going to bring to bear. Evangelist Anita, the next four or five. You can go ahead and read the next four or five verses.
Oh, yes. My apologies. I was on mute. Okay, verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In the last verse, 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Rabbi John?
And it's important to understand that this here is the second coming and not the rapture. When he said that he'll be coming like from the east to the west as far as the sun, it gives the impression that there's something is happening before. Something is happening before the Great Tribulation actually begins to, or when I say the Great Tribulation, because the tribulation has already started at this point. But what you're dealing with is you're dealing with the end or the latter part of that tribulation period. And at the latter part of that tribulation period, you've got Yeshua and his great glory, of course, is his bride. That's his glory, who's already been raptured. This is not talking about the rapture here. This is talking about the question, answering the question that was asked by his disciples. They asked about his second coming and the end of the world. So he is answering that at this point. He doesn't talk about the rapture portion until he gets into Matthew chapter 25. Verses 1 through 13. There he's talking about the rapture. But here he's just answering their question and giving them a chronologic step-by-step-by-step understanding of exactly what's going to happen. In this particular part or segment, you know, we're dealing with him coming back to pour out the wrath of God. He's coming back with his bride to pour out the wrath of God. I mean, we can find that in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19. And we could go to like verse 7, 8, 9. And we'll see that that's where the bride makes herself. And then as we continue reading chapter 19 of Revelations, I think around verse 12 or so, it talks about us riding with Yeshua on horses and spiritually coming down. And the rest of 19 begins to talk about the Armageddon War. That Armageddon War is with Yeshua and the bride against the false prophet, the Antichrist, and the, and the devil himself, the dragon. So it's important for us to understand that Yeshua answered the question first. And so we'll jump into Revelation chapter 19, and I think there might be a break before verse 7 or 8, somewhere in there, and then we'll read that up to about verse maybe 12 to 18, somewhere in there. Okay?
Okay.
In the King James.
In the King James only, Rabbi, do you want to amplify it too?
Yeah, we could probably do the amplified as well.
Revelation 19, reading starting at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he say unto me, these are the true things of God, Yah. And I fell at his feet and worshiped him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, brethren, that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, Yah, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, Yah. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that is with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, Yah. And he saith on his vesture, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, Yah, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And so the Amplified, starting at verse 7, reads, let us rejoice, shout for joy, exalting and triumphant. Let us celebrate and ascribe to him glory and honor, for the marriage of the Lamb at last has come, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been permitted to dress in fine tradition linen, dazzling and white. Radiant linen, dazzling and white. The fine linen represents the righteousness, the upright, just, and godly living deeds and conduct, and the right standing with God of the saints, God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this down, blessed, happy, to be envied, are those who are summoned, invited, called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me further, these are true words, the genuine, exact declarations of God. Then I fell prostrate at his feet to worship, to pay divine honor to him. But he restrained me and said, refrain, you must not do that. I am only another servant with you and your brethren who have accepted and hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the substance, essence of the truth revealed by Jesus in the spirit of all patience of the divine will and purpose, including both mine and yours. After that, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding is called faithful and trustworthy, loyal, the steady and true. And he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness, holiness. Eyes blaze like a flame of fire, and on his head are many kingly crowns. And he has the title name ascribed, which he alone knows and can understand. He is dressed in robes by dipping of blood, and the title by which he is called, the Word of God, of heaven, clothed in linen, dazzling, clean, followed him on white horses. From his mouth goes forth a sharp sword with which he can smite, afflict the nation, and he will shepherd and control them with a staff of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath, indignation of God, the all ruler, the almighty, the omnipotent. And on his garment robe, and in his thigh, his name titled, inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw a single angel stationed in the sun's light, and with a mighty voice he shouted to all the birds that fly across the sky, come, gather you together for the great supper of God, that you may feast on the flesh of rulers, the flesh of generals and captains, the flesh of powerful and mighty men, the flesh of horses, their riders, and the flesh of all humanity, both free and bond, both great and small. Rabbi John?
One of the things that I know that you noticed, Evangelist, and I wanted to bring out, is that it talks about the wine press, and it talks about how Yeshua is the one that, along with the bride, all on white horses, that are going to be administering the punishment of the wrath of God. And it made mention of it being the wine press, and that it would happen at that particular time. Now, it's important for us to know and understand that Revelation chapter 14, and when we read verse 16 to, I believe it's either 19 or 16 to 20, we start to see that there is another chronological order where the rapture, now this is the catching up rapture, happens first. Then after that, this wine press that they're talking about the wrath of God happens. Now, what is interesting in chapter 19 is that in chapter 19, around the latter verses that you read, it gives you a clear understanding of who is administering this wrath of God. It's Yeshua. In chapter 14, reading verses 16 to the end, it doesn't give that clear understanding, but it gives a clear chronological order of the rapture happening before the wrath is administered. The rapture happening before the wrath is administered. And when we do a correlation, one of the things that we begin to find out in this correlation is that this would have to happen around the sixth seal. That's why chapter 7 of Revelation is so important. But I don't want to get too far ahead without us actually reading these passages so that those that are listening can follow along. Okay? Revelation chapter 14. Okay? Chapter 14 of Revelation. And we're gonna go ahead and read verse 14 and read verse 14 all the way up. 144,000 evangelists, men who are celibate, going out and ministering before the rapture happens. This is a pattern that is kept throughout these passages. And I want you to see that because it shows up in chapter 7. And then it shows up again in chapter 14, starting with verse 14. And then what happens after chapter 14, verse 14, you get to verse 16, of chapter 14 of Revelation, and you see, boom, then the rapture. Well, that's the same pattern, the exact same pattern that you have in Revelation chapter 7. First, the 144,000, then the rapture, then you go into chapter 8, and that is the wrath of God. So you have that one, two, three pattern. The first is the evangelist is the rapture. Third is the wrath. I want us to look at it in chapter 14, then we're going to go to chapter 7, see it there too. But chapter 14, we'll go ahead.
Yes, Revelation chapter 14, King James Version. verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth has reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried, and a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the wine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the wine, the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridle by the space of 1,600 furlings. And so the Amplified read, and again I looked, and behold, I saw a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud one resembling a Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple sanctuary, calling with a mighty voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, put in your sack, reap. And the hour has arrived to gather the harvest, for the earth's crop is fully ripened. So he who was sitting upon the cloud swung his sickle on the earth, and the earth's crop was harvested. Then another angel came out of the temple sanctuary in heaven, and he also carried a sharp sickle. And another angel came forth from the altar, the angel who has authority and power over fire, and he called with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, put forth your sickle and reap the fruitage of the vine of the earth, for its grapes are entirely ripe. So the angel swung his sickle on the earth and stripped the grapes, and gathered the vintage of the vine of the earth, and cast it into the huge winepress of God's indignation and wrath. And the grapes in the winepress were trodden outside the city, and blood poured from the winepress, reaching as high as horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600. About 200 miles. Okay, Rabbi John, that was Revelation 14.
All right. So when we go back and read the first part of Revelation chapter 14, like 1 through about 5, I want us to read that in the King James real quick, just so that everybody sees that the 144,000 are there prior to the rapture. If you can read that just in the King James.
Yes, sir. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which followed the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Rabbi John?
Amen. So you see the pattern, right? Evangelist Anita, you have, first you have the 144,000, then the rapture,
yes.
Then the wrath.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So the same thing that we're talking about in chapter 7, you have the 144,000, then you have the rapture, and then in chapter 8, the beginning of chapter 8, you've got the wrath of God. So I want us to just go ahead and read that real quick so that you can get that pattern and so that they can see it for what it is. Because this is the pattern that Yahushua was sharing that he didn't make extremely clear. The rapture part, he didn't make it. He shared it, but he didn't share it in chronological order because his disciples were not decisive about what they were saying or about what they were asking him. He only gave them what they asked. Then he gave them the extra. They asked about his second coming. They asked about the image. He gave them that. But then he also gave them something that was very important, and that was the rapture or the wedding. But in chapter 7, okay, you've got, and I just want you to read the part where he just talks about 144,000, and then you don't have to go into all the different tribes. Everybody, I think, should know by now that he chose 12,000 from each tribe. So you can skip over that portion. And then jump in to the part, I think it's verse 9 through 13, where the rapture happens. And then from there, you can jump into chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And that'll go into the wrath of God. So you'll see the pattern. They'll see the pattern from your reading. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, and then 9 through 17. So it says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God Yah. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God, Yah, in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, Yah, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God Yah, saying, Amen, and blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God Yah forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God Yah, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, or any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God Yah shall wipe away all their tears, the tears from their eyes. And then I'm going to Revelation chapter 8. Hold on, I'm waiting for my phone to go. Revelation chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God Yah, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints unto the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saint ascended before God Yah out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. And there were voices and thunderings and lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Do you want me to continue, Rabbi John?
No, that pretty much gives everybody an idea of the seventh seal is what was starting the wrath of God, and that angel, they got the incense, relates with the angel in chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, talking about the wrath of God. So what we see here, Evangeline, is we see a pattern being repeated again. And pattern being repeated, it's a theme because in chapter 9 of Revelations, we're seeing a little bit better picture and more vivid understanding of exactly what happens with the bride and the second coming of Christ and the wrath of God. So when we put all of these pieces together, we have a threefold cord that really begins to shed light on the truth pertaining to this. We've got three witnesses here. Your thoughts on that?
Amen. And you're right. We have three witnesses. We have Matthew 24. We have Revelations 19. We have Revelations 14. And then, of course, Revelations 6, 7, and 8. And I love it because, as you see, each one gives a little more detail where it may have been general. It's like reading a book, how when you start out, you have an outline. But then as you go into the chapters, that's where you get the details. And that is one thing that I found Yah has that same pattern, just like he did in the five books of Moses. You had the first four books, but Deuteronomy was a summary of all four. And so that's what Yah does. He repeats, and as he repeats, he gives more detail. And so that's what Yeshua was doing, but he always answers directly. And so in Revelations, you begin to see how detailed Yah is so that you can't miss it. The only way you miss it is because you choose to miss it. But we already know he's putting signs out there, and we already know who the 144,000 are. We know that they have to make it to the supper because they have been assigned to evangelize the earth. So they got to make it to the wedding. So that it's giving you details of when the rapture would come. And so it lets you know about how we have pre-tribulation, mid and post, how those things don't add up when you begin to understand what Revelations is really saying. And how we're pre-Hebraic, you know, the way we believe and the way we're being taught. And so it's a blessing because, here again, it points back to you individually working on yourself, your micro, which affects the meso and the macro. Rabbi John?
Amen. And with that, we're going to conclude the series. And I will pass it to Vantage Community just to shed more on how to get in touch with us. And we will close this out in prayer.
Yes, sir. If this is your first time listening to the importance of keeping the heavenly vision, we would like to welcome and thank you for joining us. Whether you're listening via live or via podcast, we're glad that you've taken the time to engage in the study of Yah's words and to discern the signs of the time. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach congregation, Beth Shem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or you would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, please email us at office@bethashem.org. You can find out more about us by visiting our website at www.bethashem.org, and that is BETHASHEM.org. You can also find us on Facebook, and that web link is facebook.com/Bethashem Ministries. If you're hungry for more or desire a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college is Zaka University of Learning offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. And that website is at courses.bethashem.org. Finally, tithes and offerings can be made via Cash App. And that web link web page is http://www.cashapp.com/$BETHASHEM. Or you can mail it to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And for those of you who have generously given, we say thank you. Rabbi John?
Hallelujah. Father, right now, we thank you for this series. We thank you for what it means to you. And we ask that you begin to really begin to allow us to understand it, to live it, and to allow it to guide our hearts so that we won't faint when we begin to see the cusp of the tribulation coming, but that we will be excited in knowing that you have orchestrated, you've designed this, and it will follow as you have planned.